Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Boy, I love a podcast.
They're pretty big now, aren't they?
But, you know, people say it's a saturated market. It's not. It's not.
Who's saying it's saturated?
Oh, everyone.
All the critics.
All the critics are saying that. Oh, you're doing a podcast, are you? Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, I am. Yeah.
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 I am.
And also...
You know what else is good? A podcast with two white men.
Yeah, that hasn't been done.
That's
before.
That's a real good thing to get into.
I think. Yeah, that's a little bit. But today, this is a great podcast we have today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is genuinely a good one.
This is Hello, Private Partners. Welcome to another Friday episode. We have my co-host, my good friend, Tom Lucy today. Not as the main guest, but as my co-host.
Yeah. Back again. Happy Friday.
We do need to mention, by the way.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, lots of things. You the first time you came on the podcast, mm-hmm. one of the funniest episodes we ever had. Mm-hmm. Genius. Mm-hmm. You come on lots of times after that.
Yeah.
You've met your girlfriend via Private Parts.
That's right, yeah.
But that's insane. You met your girlfriend via Private Parts.
Yeah.
She DM'd you.
Yeah, after the first one, yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah. Matchmakers.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
That's just crazy. So there's a lot of loyalty here towards the podcast.
That's right, yeah. And also,
yeah.
I do reply to DMs.
Oh, there we go.
So,
what does that mean?
Send DMs.
So you'll just reply to them?
Yeah.
Like, what kind of things do you reply to?
It makes me sound quite desperate, doesn't it?
Yeah, send me DMs because I'll reply.
Send me DMs. You don't reply to all your DMs, do you?
I don't really reply to DMs that much.
No.
Yeah, I don't really reply. Well, because you having a good day? Yeah, I don't really know what to say to them. So what I like to put out on Instagram is just...
Content. You are the content king. It's famously known.
I just love putting content out there.
Every fucking minute of the day.
Yeah. Oh, should we do this?
Oh, I wonder what Jamie's up to. Oh, no, I know exactly up to.
Me and Trini. Trini Woodall.
You need an element of mystery.
Oh, should I start
about
doing?
You?
Okay.
The problem with...
That's why I wrote my book.
The problem with social media is that everybody knows everything about you. We want a bit of mystery.
Oh, okay. So what
people like mystery.
So what do we need to do to create mystery?
Stop talking.
Oh, really? Should I just go cold on social media? So you say, should I just go cold for 2 days?
You know what people love is when somebody just out of nowhere deletes their Instagram. People love that.
Shall I just do that? It really makes
people talk.
Shall I just do that?
Just delete it.
What is the best way to get... to get coverage without putting content out there? Deleting my Instagram.
Just delete it.
All right, maybe.
All social media.
Hey, listen to you lovely Private Partners. We have a great episode today because we have Wes Nelson on the podcast. Mm-hmm. Do you know what's funny? I always say who we have. They can see in the title who is on
who's
the podcast.
Who's coming up.
Yeah, they can see it. They see it. It's right there.
Do you... The podcasts you listen to...
Yeah.
Do you... If a guest comes on that you don't know, will you skip it or will you listen to every episode?
I now listen to the episodes because I actually like the content from the hosts.
Content. It's all about content.
Yeah, but you and I.
Yeah.
Is there like a whale going past in that truck?
We're recording this on the beach. in Barbados.
Hey, listen, everyone. We have Wes Nelson on the podcast. What an absolute legend.
Great guy.
What a great guy.
Really liked him.
Liked him a lot.
Never met him before. Really liked him.
So Tom and I are hosting today, so get ready for this. Listen, if you'd like to go and check out our Instagram, go and check it out. We'd love that at Private Podcast. Or check out Tom's as well.
Jamie's about to delete his.
I'm about to delete mine, so don't go near mine. You're going to love this episode. We get in deep and dive into the music industry and everything else. And yeah. Justin Bieber.
And Bieber.
Bieber. Wes has Justin Bieber's number.
Yeah.
So sit back, relax, unless you're driving. Don't do that. Stay alert. I thought my leg was buzzing, but it wasn't. It was just some weird like thing going on. Enjoy this episode of Private Parts.
Goodbye.
Bye. Don't not goodbye.
No, not goodbye. Listen. Keep listening.
Keep listening.
Enjoy.
There we go. So, hungover on a podcast.
This is a lie.
Why? I wasn't
fake news.
I wasn't talking about Lucy over here. This guy's always partying.
Yeah, a big one at the Jingle Bell Ball. Sorry.
Wait, so not hungover today, maybe hungover today?
No, I'm tired today. Well, you can hear it in my voice now.
Yeah, but it's like sexy. It's like a sexy.
Yeah, baby.
There we go. It's like a sexy voice.
Yeah, I think it's my second, it's the day two hangover, I think. But
really?
I'm all right.
My hangovers now are like horrendous. Like, I'm not good at any hangovers whatsoever.
Mm. This is what I've never usually have hangovers, but I've had a break from drinking for like a month and a bit now.
Mm.
And then, I think I made up for it all in one night. So,
wait, why did you have a break? Why did you were
just for purely for focusing on music? And I think when I drink, I get loud and I scream and I shout.
Yeah.
And when I shout, I lose my voice. And when I lose my voice, I can't sing. So it's like, it stops me from doing my job.
That is the best way to say
it. We should get some alcohol in here now.
Yeah. I want to see what happens when Wes...
I just go... Ah!
I've done that loads of times where I've like stopped drinking alcohol. I've said like, right, I'm not going to do it now. Because we were saying this downstairs, but Tom and I went to a party once and... And I ended up giving Cree advice to different people.
Mm. Should we say who the people were?
Yeah, we can say. I don't think we can.
Yes, you can.
Oh, David Walliams. Okay. He was there.
Okay.
Yeah. You don't know how to write books.
Because I think what David Walliams really needs is career advice from Jamie Lang.
Yeah.
That's exactly what he needs.
You want to know how to be a reality star? You don't even know what reality is. Anyway, I get like overly excited.
Yeah.
And because it was a party, it was a Christmas party, I, for some reason in my head, thought it was... like a party for me. So when the band came down, I got on the table, didn't I? I started dancing.
You did, yeah.
That's good. Yeah, but that's good vibes. That's what
I
you want.
Know,
but Jamie treats every gathering like it's a party arranged for him. Like it's his birthday.
Yeah.
That's a true performer right there.
Thank you very much.
Exactly.
I reckon, Wes, when you're at parties, you get up and sing. Do you do that?
Don't
make me sing. No, don't make me sing. No.
You do the odd blast and then you just get, but my mates are all there for me and they all keep me like grounded. If I start singing, they're just like, oh, you sing, don't you? So yeah, anytime I sing, it's just like, it's
probably. But at least you've got it. You've got like a talent, right? I don't even really have, what's your talent, Tom? What do you say your talent is? Yeah, sorry, put you on the spot right there. What is your talent?
I don't know. I mean, stand-up comedy.
Yeah, but that's your job.
I don't know. That's it, really. That's all I can do, really.
Yeah, so
a lot of people think I can't even do that. So I don't know.
Yeah, but see, because you've got a voice, right? And your voice is like amazing.
Thank you,
dude. It is because I've heard you sing a cappella.
Yes,
which is
we did it live. It was to be fair, it was pretty difficult.
Really,
coming into the Jingle Bell Ball, we had to do it. That was live. That was all live, everything live, and we didn't have any backing vocal. We didn't have any backing on track or anything. But I think people aren't expecting that. Like with me especially, I think people want me to be bad live as well. Like that, I think it's that.
Why do you think that?
I do have a chip on my shoulder.
I know what you mean.
Like, first of all, when I came out with music, people when I announced I was doing music, and I've actually thought about this the other day. I can remember a couple of blog pages put it up and said, "Oh, Wes is cooking," and I could see people like leave it in the oven. I was just like, oh, great. People already want to hate my stuff.
Yeah.
Then the music came out and they couldn't hate it.
Yeah.
And then the next thing is like, okay, then it's all autotune and you can't actually sing. So they kind of want me to be bad live just to prove their point, right? And then I come out and sing live.
That's a weird like British thing though, isn't it?
Yeah, where people... but then and then we did it live in front of 20,000 people and no one had anything. You couldn't sing.
Why does that happen? Why do people get irritated? Like it's like there's a jealousy thing, right, that we have where people... So you, especially with sort of, I suppose, coming from a reality TV background, they firstly go, well, you've locked yourself into that.
Yeah.
And then when you start achieving things within an industry, they go, well, you've locked yourself into that. Yeah. And then you're not good enough. And the only reason you've done this is because of following and stuff like that. And it does, as much as...
It discredits everything. Yeah.
and also, which is, okay, you're probably the same as me, Wes. I don't care that people make jokes about reality TV and stuff like that, whatever, things like that.
Yeah.
But when you're doing stuff actually that you know is good creatively and you actually work hard for it and they dig at you for it, whether it's music or whatever, that actually hurts a little bit.
That's one thing that we're, and I've got a complete like thick skin to it now and it's
sounds like it, buddy.
It is fun. It is, honestly.
I just get really drunk and shout.
No, it is fine. And the thing is, I wanted to just put things out, music out that's undeniable. Like you can't hate it if the product's there. Like what can you do? The opinions will follow. Like you can try and target that first and say, no, I'm a singer and scream it from the rooftops. People don't want to hear that. People want to hear your music and then they'll decide. And I think that's the way I've approached it.
If anything, I would imagine that the your music has to be better than...
Because anything
you're starting from like a negative, so it almost has to be like better. Do you know what I mean?
Because anything that's amazing is now, it's good.
Yeah.
But anything that's good is now average. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's weird, but... I'm not here to cry about being on a show because it's given me great exposure and it's put my music out there in front of people.
Yeah.
It's just that you have to make sure that when it is out there in front of people, it's good, because if not, you're going to get crucified.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Imagine you put something out, it's not that good. Then it's like when I did comedy with you.
Jamie did it.
Whoa. The first time... It was okay. Second time, they were expecting me to be bad.
Yeah.
And boy, I was.
Good.
Yeah. They're like, almost to the point where they felt, it wasn't even sorry, they just felt sad.
this is a real shame.
People left depressed. I think they did. But it's true, I think that's what happens, where you're right, Wes, with you, where you have to make your music better than anyone else's. Because otherwise, exactly, you're going to be discredited. Have you always been into music?
Yeah, so since I was, I think the earliest gift I can ever remember getting was a little karaoke machine. It wasn't even a karaoke machine from my mum and dad. It's just a plastic box with a rubber cable and something that looked like a microphone. And I can remember.
Sorry, wait, hang on. Someone just gave you a box with a rubber cable.
Basically, it was a karaoke machine that had no power to it, essentially. But I used to sing into it non-stop. And then I think the next year they actually got me a real one and I was buzzing. And then that stayed with me until like my early teens. But no one
it's
ever.
It's weirdly also still what you use now in your kids, isn't it?
It is. I took it straight onto Jingle Bell Ball and it went down a tree.
Hey, can you explain?
DJ!
Can you explain this, guys? So what is it? It's a box.
Yeah, no, it was just a karaoke machine that didn't really work, but it was amazing. Maybe they just didn't want to get me a proper one. Maybe I was terrible at singing then and they just didn't want to.
They didn't want to amplify it.
Yeah, it's probably why. Adding extra volume to me is always a terrible idea in the house. So.
But were you one of these guys in the car that it would be like, and the wheels on the bus go around? And it came to you and they were like, what the fuck? Because you were like, ah, the wheels.
No, so the funny story is that I actually never really sang properly. Before 12 years old, I think I was pretty confident. And then as soon as it got to my teens and going into high school and stuff, I'd never, ever sang for anyone until I went on Celeb X Factor.
Oh my God. Wow. So that was the time that it started.
So the I never sang. In fact, sorry, tell a lie, on Love Island, I had to sing every time, pretty much every single time someone left, I sang. Dr. Alex's request was Dr. Alex.
Wait, hang on a second.
You heard me. Dr. Alex requested me to sing Ordinary People for him before he left as well. Ask him. This is where I shook my fear of singing.
Was this in the show?
No, they couldn't put it on copyright because
it's copyright.
But I broke my fear of singing to, yeah. by singing to the other housemates and all the islanders.
That's insane.
Genuinely, that is the first.
That's like a weird, like morbid, like feel to
yeah,
that. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Whereas, can you sing?
It's like you sing while they like. yeah.
Also,
while they just sort of carry the body out. You're singing yes. while they're feeding it into the furnace.
It sounds so dramatic now, but it was just a bit of fun at the time. And I used to sing yeah. Fetty Wap and all the time. That, I don't know why yeah. that was a thing, yeah. but that was a thing that Josh was obsessed
with. I would have sung Apple Bottom Jeans, Boots with the Fur.
Yes.
Instead taking yes. whoever out.
Yeah. But that's where I shook my fear of it. And then from then, it just... I'm now the last person to be singing at the party. I'll always be on the stage.
Get the old karaoke machine.
I'm just like you, Jamie. I'll be on the table singing with you.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
if you need a singing partner, bro.
Dude, my singing is really like I honestly sometimes I sit there and I try and like actually sing properly.
Yeah.
And
do you have a voice note yourself?
Oh my god. So
I saw the
I was just about to say I felt when I was younger, I feel like everyone did a thing where they would record themselves singing
yeah.
and then listen back to it. Because I think in your own head, everybody thinks they sound good.
This was my fear.
Yeah.
So I used to record myself all the time.
Yeah.
And sing all the time. And I'd be like, but what if I'm one of them guys that really thinks, like, you know when you see X Factor sometimes and like they're positive, they are incredible, like adamant. And then you can't sing. I thought I was that guy. Mm. So until I actually sang to other people and it took people to actually say, oh, actually you can sing.
Yeah. Try and sing now. If you try and sing now, how do you like give
what,
your,
what would you mean?
So I'm going to actually try and sing. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to sing True Colors. And this is me actually trying properly to sing. This is what my voice sounds
okay.
like.
Okay.
This is me. I swear to God, this is actually, okay, here we go. All right. This is
like a full breakdown.
Where am I? What's going on? Okay. Here we go. Okay, this is me actually. Oh God, I don't think I can do it.
Okay, this is your voice.
I can try it. Oh God. Okay. I see your... Oh no!
I think you're there.
Okay, let me try one more time. Okay, this is me. Okay. I see your true colors.
Yes.
Shining through. I see your true colours.
Do you want to harmonise on top of this?
Bro, listen to my voice.
Try and do that, Tom.
I suppose it's easier because when you can hear yourself in headphones.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Oh, well, funny story about that. Jingle Bell Ball, my in-ears cut out midway through the performance. Everyone's did. So we couldn't hear ourselves for most of that performance. And what the problem is with that is because it's in an arena, the sound takes a long time to get back to you.
Yeah.
So you can't time it.
Yeah.
So I was egging on a guy at the front who was clapping his hands above his head and I was just egging him on. I was just like using him as the metronome. Just timing my singing. Yeah, that's why my backing vocalist
walked
off.
So if you're on stage and you're, this is a really naive question, but if you're on stage and you don't have in-ears, what can you hear?
Not you can hear crowd,
yeah.
but you can hear a delayed version of what's being played and echoes everywhere.
Yeah.
It's so weird. If you've not got wedges, and
so you
can't have wedges,
back,
it's the
O2. So you get the echo back to you.
It's the O2. It's massive.
Yeah.
Like there's no way you can time anything. So I can remember on the middle eight, if you listen to the middle eight, you'll hear it goes a little bit later.
You won't know what middle eight comes, is. Yeah,
middle eight on the drive performance that we did with Clean Bandit, it goes off a little bit at the end. You can hear it go a bit out of time, but then it comes back in because the antenna comes back on. It's so strange.
But also I want to hear, because the other thing is like your songs are good, dude.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, no, but listen, I'm not a musician, so I'm not some, you know, hey buddy, hey kid, you got a shot at this. No, but as in your music is so good, people really love it. Yeah. And it's not only catchy, it's like creative, it's everything. And that's from a creative point of view, that must be kind of really rewarding that people generally like really love your music.
Yeah, I think since we've been releasing more songs and I've been able to prove myself on more than just one. I think people were, when the first one came out, I think people were like, oh, okay, cool, that's one.
Yeah.
You were on One Hit Wonder, can you do it again? But then Nice to Meet You was our biggest track yet.
Yeah.
How many streams has it got?
75 million on Spotify.
Oh my God, get out of here.
I think, yeah, 100 million on Nice to Meet You, like on all platforms. Say Nobody's like 50 million drives.
Is Spotify 50
million.
Good for, do you get like royalties? There we go, yeah.
You went to make the image. Do you make
I've always been really
Do you make a little bit of.
I've always been like really interested in how.
You make 12 cents a stream, right? 12 cents
it's
a stream.
Not I don't think it's a lot in term compared to what it used to be when people used to sell a record for a quid.
Yeah.
Every single record and every single record sale would be that, because we did, like, last year we did just over 1 million.
Yeah.
That record sales.
Yeah. That would have been.
Oh, sorry, that's so many.
That would have been 1 million different sales before.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Wait, hang on. I was
talking about this the other day and saying the idea of paying 79p for a song now is just mad, isn't it?
Yeah.
Cool, because we don't pay it.
I'm pretty sure I'm the only one who's buying my things.
Yeah, yeah.
I say that, I'm not. I'm joking. Yeah. I'm joking. That is a lie.
But you sold over 1 million copies.
Yeah, we See Nobody's gone platinum. Nice to Meet You's gone platinum.
Dude, what the?
It's gone nuts. Like, it's actually gone mental. I can't even believe I'm saying it out loud
what
now.
What the hell? You gone platinum?
I'm now a platinum selling artist.
Platinum.
It came the other day, and I sat with it on my sofa while I was eating my cookies.
Do you get a big plaque?
They're on my wall. I've put them in the most obnoxious place I could possibly do over my TV.
Who sends you the plaque? Is it
like it's a reef on your front door? Sorry, what though? That's my reef?
That's
just hanging on the front door.
Just hanging on my reef on the front door. That's insane.
Who sends the plaque? Is it the official chart company?
The Michelin Man.
Yeah.
EMI send the plaque.
Send it?
Yeah. It's the label.
The label
send the plaque.
They take forever to come as well, by the way. We need to work on this.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We also need to mention that you're signed by EMI. You've got Ali in here, who's your person who looks after you. Mm. So how does that happen? So you're making music, you're spitting some rams.
Spitting some rams.
It's quite exciting. It's exciting that Ali from EMI's here and you just did a bit of singing, so maybe we'll get you.
Maybe you'll sign
Was that a very unsubtle way of you trying to get a record?
No, it was. He was making eye contact the whole time.
Fuck you guys, I've got a top 5 iTunes hit.
Yes.
Yeah, I do.
With
what is it? It's called
50 Cent in the club, featuring Jamie.
It goes something like, "Hayley, I know you missed your." it's with Americano.
We know speak
American. No, what is that? Americano. It sounds like I'm ordering a coffee.
How don't you know your own song? This is what I'm.
It is. It's this. Okay,
what?
Let me just.
You had a song.
So me and a couple of guys from Made in Chelsea were asked to do a song with the Gypsy Kings.
Bambaleo.
Gypsy Kings.
Bambaleo.
No, here we go. It's the Gypsy Kings.
Do you mean when you said Americano? Do you mean Bambaleo?
No, it goes. Americano. God, I sound like I'm going mad. Like, honestly, I can't.
We've got the first two words, but is that literally all it says? The whole thing?
I can't remember. It was a weird time back then. I can't really remember.
Okay.
But we were asked to do a song.
Do Do you ever? I don't think you have a plaque, do you? You didn't get sent a plaque.
I didn't get a plastic plaque. No. But we sang the song with these guys. I think they're called the Gypsy Kings. And
they're very famous.
Yeah. We did. We sang the song. We got a top five hit.
Gypsy Kings Made in Chelsea collaboration.
I think
that's something I didn't know I needed, but
they
now
must
I do.
Have been really tight for cash right back then.
Yeah, I think they also probably regret it more. But weirdly enough, I wasn't even on the track. We went and recorded the track. And I wasn't on the track. I was meant to be on the track, but I wasn't on it because going there, I had a mini panic attack because I was so hungover. So I couldn't. So in the car, I was like, I think I'm having a heart attack. Oh God! But with EMI, what happens is that you come out of Love Island, you do your kind of thing, and you're super popular on that. All these kind of things. You're starting making music, and then EMI, who are
Universal, it's crazy.
How does that happen?
I think it came originally from what got the label started was a tweet from Krept, from Krept and Conan. I showed Krept a song, See Nobody, at the time, and I told him about 2 years before that, when I just got out of the villa, and I did a podcast for him on Free Shots of Tequila, promoing one of his songs. And I said to him at the time, I was like, bro, I'm going to start doing music. I promise you, watch. And I'm sure he gets 1,000,001 people telling him they're going to do music. And especially coming from a guy who's just come from Love Island, he was just like, oh yeah, okay, cool, brilliant. And then I showed it, well, 2 years pass. I've been writing loads and loads of music and working on stuff. And I sent him See Nobody. And I didn't get a response for 2 weeks. But he'd been playing the song for 2 weeks, listening to it constantly. And then sent me a video back of him singing the song, knowing all the words, everything. And then he put a tweet out that day. And I saw my phone blowing up. I was like, what's going on? I'm just getting tagged in this thing, a post from Krept. And I was like, oh crap, what have I done? Like, I can just see, when you see like just images come through, and it's just, yeah. But it was just screenshots of the tweet. I thought it was like, I just saw 1,000 images, like, what images am I being shown now? Yeah.
Just you naked.
Yeah. But thankfully it was a tweet from Krept, and he was just like, this guy from Love Island just sent me a song, and I haven't stopped listening to it for 2 weeks straight. It's absolutely unbelievable. I can't wait for this guy to come out with music, blah, 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 blah. And then all the labels then started poking around and wondering who this guy was.
But as kids, right, we have our dreams, okay? And we all have our dreams, like footballers, whatever it wants to be, musicians, artists, whatever. And we have that fascination where we want to reach like the top. And then suddenly what I find interesting about life, okay, is that we all have, life has like hurdles throughout it. We're like a steeplechase, right? And we get and you're wishing to get to one place, and then you jump and you go, oh my God, this is exciting. Yeah. Like if someone said to you, 6 years ago, you're going to be singing, or you're going to be producing and recording a song, you'd be like, no way. Then you get signed by EMI. These levels always keep going up and up, doesn't it? All the time, which I find weird about life.
Yeah.
Does that make any sense, or do you know what I mean?
No, 100%. Yeah. Because there's always, but that's the best way. It's like, there's no point in having dreams without goals. Mm. It's like the dream was always to be a singer, but you've got to have goals along the way to get there. And I think these are all like milestones for me. And I think getting a record deal was my biggest dream of all time.
That's insane.
And then when the platinum plaque came, literally, I'm not joking, I stared at it for like 20 minutes.
So just go back to
the same, reading the same,
before you nailed it to the front door.
Before I threw it in the bin.
Oh, I want another one. I want double platinum. Yeah. That's 1,000,000 copies.
Platinum, 700,000 sales, I think? 600,000 sales, I think.
What is it kind of sales though? So that's sales on Spotify, or sales?
4,000 streams is one sale.
Oh, really? Is that how it works?
Wow.
Wow.
That is so many listens.
I think 4,000 to 5,000, whatever the algorithm does.
I think that makes sense. Because I think it's like,
works out about that. So buying it once, if someone buys your track on iTunes, that counts as 4,000 streams. The other way around. So it's equivalent.
Okay.
So.
That is.
How many streams did your song get?
I think it was like pre-Spotify.
Yeah. That's a lot though. It's a lot though. Like, you'd have to listen to that, sit down and listen to the song 4,000 times to equate to one person just going.
Mm. Yeah.
So keep buying my songs.
Yeah, buy the
keep buying them.
Is this why the music industry is is all the money's in live now, and all
it,
the money's
there's a
in,
lot more in live now, yeah, because yeah, it kind of, it does, it's not a, I haven't really noticed it, to be honest. I've not really noticed it, because genuinely, when I say it, I'm not looking at figures like that are coming in from, yeah, from I promise you, from the bottom of my heart, okay, I actually, yeah, really am not, like, I'm really just doing this because I love doing music.
It's amazing.
And I've set up my bases with properties and things like this. That was what I did my properties for originally, is because I wanted to get all these properties so then I could sit back and do what I really love to do, which is music.
Yeah. Fuck, you're a genius. What the hell have I been doing in my time? Like, what? Like, buying another, like, Balenciaga jacket and then like, going, well, this is out of season now. And then just pinning on Depop. Yeah. Do I make a load of money from Depop?
Yeah, man. Yeah.
But that's smart. But where is this? Where is this kind of entrepreneurial kind of like spirit come from? Because that typically not many. Because you're young. You're 23.
23.
You're 23 years
mad,
old.
Isn't it?
That is mad. I'm 10 years older than you.
No way.
Yeah, I know. I look really young.
That's you actually do though.
Yeah.
You actually do though.
School. Yeah, nail that shit into my head. You're nailing platinum records into your. I'm putting needles in my face. But that's insane. That kind of maturity, I suppose.
Thank you. I
just was never.
How
that
old
mature.
Were you when you were in Love Island?
I was 19 when they asked me.
That's too young to even go into
that
a show.
Is,
like that.
It is actually. When I deep it now, it's actually. Yeah, well, I was 20 when I just turned. When I just got on the show. But it is quite young. But I'd like to think I've got a wise head on my shoulders. So yeah. I don't think it was like, I don't
but
think
But where
I've
does that come
to,
from though? Where does it, do
you I think it's my old man.
Really?
My dad's a very structured, organized man. I'm not saying I'm structured and organized because I'm far from it. I live every day literally as the day starts.
Yeah.
But the ethic and the work ethic and understanding how to plan and execute things, I think that's from my old
what
man.
What does your dad do?
He's an engineer as well, so I was.
It is about being particular about certain things.
Like we're just logical. I think engineers understand how things work, and if you can just back plan everything, that's kind of what I did. Like even my education, I back planned it so I could be a nuclear engineer, and with music, I back planned it so I could do music.
Hang on, you're fascinating. Okay, let's get into this shit. But you were going to be a nuclear engineer?
Yeah, I was a nuclear system design engineer.
What?
I don't think I knew that.
Yeah. I did not know this.
When I was.
You were studying
when you were 18?
No, I was 19.
When you were 19,
we got basically it's essentially a scholarship for my for the university as well. So, on one day a week, I'd be doing uni, so all the way from 8 o'clock till 8 o'clock at night.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
and then the other 4 days, I'd be working as a nuclear engineer.
Wow.
On site or in the office.
And what is a nuclear engineer? What does that determine? What do you have to do doing that?
The electrical and the chemical integration systems that go into nuclear power.
Yeah, you don't have to explain to me.
That's all you can actually say on it.
Sorry about Jamie, you won't understand that, but I get it.
Okay, explain.
Yeah. I was young and starting out in it, but it was really, really buzzing to get the thing. Like so many people applied to get it, and I worked my fucking ass off to get the job.
So that's
like,
a really weird. Wow. That makes the decision to go into Love Island.
Yeah,
even
that's
stranger.
It was dead funny.
Yeah,
they got the call and I was like, yeah, fuck it, why not?
Yeah.
So I don't want to talk about it, because Love Island, I think you just elevate. Not that it's a bad thing or a good thing, but you've elevated. You're a musician. You're so many more things. But that is where you began. So what is the decision to go into it, right?
Well, I got asked to go. It was never really part of the plan. I got asked to go on, and I was just I hate missing opportunities. I know what you mean.
Yeah.
I weigh it up. I don't throw myself at everything I do. I've been very particular with what I've done, but I was 19 at the time. I was just like, why the hell would I not? I've just got 4 weeks holidays. My holidays are just refreshed. This is ace. Yeah, let's do it. Why not? Go in and then just did it. And then I think because I was myself, I didn't have to keep up this persona of who I was. And I think that's why it's just been so comfortable, because I haven't had to keep up an act or do anything.
It's also nice because you don't strike me as someone who was like desperate to be famous, or you just weren't interested in any of that
It was just hilarious.
Yeah.
Mate, half of the funniest things didn't even make like the thing.
Yeah.
It was just a good laugh.
Yeah.
And then it was never really, people said, oh, did you back plan that? Like, did you go on Love Island so you could do music?
Yeah.
But actually it's been more of a hindrance, I think.
Yeah, it would be.
So when you came out of Love Island, was there a bit of you that was going to go back to being a nuclear engineer?
Well, that was the plan. That was the plan, to go back. But then when I got asked to do, then I got straight away, I got asked to do Dancing on Ice.
Yeah.
And that was another 3-4 months of my life gone.
And yeah.
I can't take 3 or 4 months off work.
Yeah.
Then as soon as I started doing that, and then we did start doing PAs and some money started rolling, and I was like, right, okay, let's put my brain
the
power
PAs,
into
PAs, baby.
This guy knows about PAs.
220 deep we did in the first 220 in the first year. We did.
Okay, let me explain.
First year, 2 years.
So to all the listeners, you know, so PAs, I think I explained this before, is where you turn up to a nightclub and you wave and that's what you do. And it's at the beginning, it's real ego boosting. And then after three years of doing it, it's real soul destroying. Yeah.
But that was so fundamental in building me as an artist.
Really?
Because the reason I think I got asked to do so many is because I was jumping on stage, grabbing the mic and emceeing over everything. So I was hosting the nights instead of just taking pictures.
Because you just love that stage.
What do they want you to do? Do they literally want you to just stand there?
It's usually pictures, isn't it? Pictures, yeah. And then meet and greet.
Yeah.
And then...
That's it.
And then you can leave after an hour.
And then
I stayed the whole night, got obliterated, and just emceed the whole thing.
The interesting thing about Jamie is he does them and he doesn't even get paid.
Yeah.
He just turns up at clubs and he waves.
This is no one of a life.
Sometimes he pays the club to let him in.
There was a couple of times where I turned up and there was no one there. And I went, do you know what? You can just keep it. I felt so bad. Because at the beginning, we started doing... I just couldn't... When I first did Made in Chelsea, I was invited to Kent... university to do a PA, and I was paid 500 quid, and I went with one of the guys from Skins. And I couldn't understand that someone was paying me money to go to this nightclub. So with all the 500 quid that I had, I just bought everyone in the club a drink with it. And then I said, oh, buy everyone a drink.
I took all my uni mates. This was the time, as soon as I'd come off Love Island, all my friends had just broken up from uni as well.
Yeah.
So, and all these PAs, it was literally just a UK tour with my pals just... Yeah,
you did 220.
Yeah, in a year and a half. 220
in a year.
Year and a half, and that was what I was doing.
You're the hardest working PA man in the world.
We was doing like three in a night. It was actually messed up. It was messed up, like proper messed up, like to the point where it actually made me a bit ill. Like because
it would make you ill
because we were drinking.
It would affect
so
you mentally and things like that.
Because we were drinking so much. And mate, I'm not like acting a victim, like, oh, boohoo, you went around getting paid thousands.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
But no, it was very, very taxing on the liver.
But also,
the brain.
But it's more the brain, it's soul destroying, isn't it? Yeah, I think what people don't realize, people think that you get paid this money to turn up to a nightclub and people think it's great. You get free alcohol, free things like that. It's very lonely. You're like, Tommy, you're a comedian. You understand how being, it's lonely being a comedian sometimes, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I mean, I think
just no one's as funny as you.
That's definitely not true. But the equivalent, I mean, I did started out doing lots of like freshers gigs at universities. I guess that would be a similar
thing.
They're
messy, aren't they?
Yeah. And
but we're encouraged to, you're performing, which is different, Tom, where we're encouraged to go and get drunk, and slowly by slowly it just wears you down. You realize you're not really building any platform. It is
very empty. But the thing is, like, you turn up to Dundee and be
shout out Dundee.
Yeah. But you just turn up Dundee on your own, you've just got like a 10-hour million train.
Yeah.
And then you turn up to a club on your own and you just stood there. Then you're there for an hour and a bit and people are just pouring drinks down. You're like, I love you. It's just long.
And it's actually upsetting, and you kind of finish it and you go back to your hotel and watch, I don't know, reruns of Jeremy Kyle.
Or like, people honestly, just go to you. I don't even know who you are, but come here.
Yeah.
He's like, why are you
I guess
here?
You just like, why? It sounds like you did this, but I guess you just sort of treat it, you realise what it is.
It's a job, and you've got to play the game.
I'm only going to do this for a year and then I'm going to stop doing it.
And I literally wanted to bank all of it and spend that year, every train journey or any car journey, because there's a lot of travelling.
Yeah.
I'd just listen to property podcasts and read about properties, everything about properties. And then...
So you're a studier as well. Of course you are, because you're a learner.
My brain was going nowhere. It's like the most dead.
Yeah. Like,
it doesn't stimulate you at all. So I think once I'd come out of the engineering thing, I needed something. So property is where I put my brain power into. And then from that, took the year of banking all the money and banking all the knowledge, invested. Yeah. Then now I can do all the things that I want to do.
I would imagine that a lot of people come out of those shows like Love Island and then they don't have as good a sort of business brain, as you. And they have like a wild couple of years and then it very quickly
dwindles. It's,
but that's mainly just
the
time.
Because it's that thing when you're in that industry where if you're making, it's the same with comedy and music and any of those, they're very volatile industries. So you can be making a lot of money 1 year and in your head you assume you're going to be making that money forever, but it doesn't.
And it's taxing mentally. I've noticed that I've never felt any sort of depression or anything until I think like, I've started making a lot more money.
No, because I want to talk about that.
A fear of losing things is not, it's not a direct fear of losing stuff, I think, but I think that's when a lot of people can go crazy.
Yeah.
Is when you feel like any moment it could all go.
Yeah.
And sometimes people try and take control of the situation and go on a downward spiral themselves, I think, by just going, I'll spend it on this, I'll do this.
At least
I have control of it then.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And you've got to keep faith and have a long-term plan, I think.
Sure. Short-term goals is the worst thing. You know, business is paid in two currencies, cash and experience. So the experience first and the cash come later. Do stuff because you want to experience it, right? I one of the stories before we're going to end part one in
love
a second.
That, by the way.
It's so true, right? You experience stuff. People focus on achieving cash, right? Which is the wrong thing to achieve. It's a short-term goal. Yeah. And actually, you'll notoriously be unhappy in the end of it, right? You need to focus on something that you really want to experience and you love doing, whatever that may be. But it's tricky because most people don't have the ability to find out what they don't want to do, because most people have to get up in the morning, they have to go and work in their local Sainsbury's or whatever, where there are certain individuals who can discover what they don't want to do, and that's a huge advantage.
That's why I feel so blessed to be in the position of being
decide it. One of the PA stories before we end part one there is Spencer. I went to first PA, I think I've told you this before.
I went
to a PA with Spencer, my friend. It was the first PA I've ever been to, and we went to Reading. Spencer was so drunk, I he could hardly talk. And he went, I need to go and get a burrito. So we went and got him a burrito to sober up. And we went into the Reading nightclub and they went, welcome to the stage, Spencer Rogers! And the crowd went nuts. And Spencer walked on holding a burrito. And it was all over his shirt. And everyone went, whoa! Oh, God. And again, just felt... Sorry for it. All right, listen, everybody. Come back for part two. We'll see you in a minute. Bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.